Well, as we promised in our introduction, we have welcomed back Sarah Eisley-Dirley from the Connecticut Data Collaborative. They've got some breaking news about a new report that they just issued, and we just wanted to catch up with Sarah to remind people about this important organization here in Connecticut, this 501c3 nonprofit that's connecting people and data to promote informed decision making and to advance equity in Connecticut. Sarah, I can't imagine a time when data could be more important or engaging, especially when we see so much of it being taken away or obfuscated in some ways. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Before we get into the conversation, though, I wanted to call on anyone listening to make a difference in a child's life. The New Haven Tutoring Initiative is looking for passionate volunteers to join them in supporting and advancing the next generations of community leaders. Whether you have just an hour or a few to spare every week, your support can help bridge the learning gap for students in the community. The Tutoring Initiative is supported by the United Way of Greater New Haven and other community partners and provides opportunities for students to learn critical reading and math skills, to build home libraries, and develop an enjoyment of reading and math. You can sign up today and help create brighter futures. Learn more by visiting the United Way of Greater New Haven and their tutoring initiative page, uwgnh.org/tutoring. All right. Sarah, how have you been? It's been almost a year since we talked. How are things going at the Connecticut Data Collaborative?
Yeah, they're going well. We are doing a lot of workshops and analysis, trying to find ways to connect people and gather people together while also finding ways that we can contribute to the important conversations that are happening in our state.
I don't want to in any way slosh over into political conversation, but I know that you and your team had some very interesting, if not intense, a few weeks there, a couple of months ago, as a number of the sources that your team goes to help build the data sets and do the work that you do, suddenly were either threatened with disappearing or were suddenly not available or taken offline. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. It didn't really make headline news, but among data people for the past few weeks, there's been a lot of collaboration and identifying who has what data sets just in case they go missing. There's very little transparency about what was going to be down permanently. And then of those data sets that did go down and then came back up, we actually don't know if things were changed about them or if they were the same. But CT Data downloaded and made sure that we would have access to over 1,000 data sets that we kind of use on a regular basis. And there's many other efforts, libraries and other public institutions that have sought to make sure that they have their own data sets in case that happens again.
Very good. So as you're moving forward, you and like-minded individuals and organizations across the country are quickly, kind of going on the offense, really. And, it's like protecting the fine works of art in wartime to some extent from a data perspective, right?
Certainly. I mean, and the point of data and the point of the Census Bureau even collecting data to begin with is to make sure that businesses and communities have decisions to ensure that their communities can thrive, that they can make decisions about, locations of business and how they want to attract business or what the population is changing, so how they need to invest in schools or pull back on certain investments. Without this data, communities would be blind in terms of what information they would have at their fingertips to make these important decisions. And we would waste a whole lot more money than we, may already do now.
Very good. So the breaking news, as we mentioned earlier, is the release just in the past few days, as we're recording this here on February 27th, of a new analysis called New Federal DOT Policy Would Disadvantage Connecticut, Especially Our Urban Centers. What's that about?
Well, we, of course, were interested in the policy change by the Department of Transportation to focus their investments primarily on communities where there was a higher than average birth rate and or marriage rate. It's not exactly clear which or both would be the priority. And, you know, the Urban Institute put out this analysis, and we thought, this is really interesting. What does this look like for Connecticut? We should have this in Connecticut to help us understand how would we be impacted by this policy. And of course, the headline says Connecticut would be disadvantaged. Our birth rate is lowest, almost the lowest in the country. We are 46 out of 52 states, and our marriage rate is 26th out of the 52, you know, states plus D.C. and Puerto Rico. So we are under the national average on both of those elements. And when we looked even further at communities where there were people without a car, you know, of course, transportation funding, it helps us build bridges and roads and maintain those things, which are really important. But it also goes to ensure that we have robust transportation and, you know, things like sidewalks and things like that in more populated areas. And of course, what we found, not surprisingly, was that there is lower car ownership in census tracts, which is a geography we look at for data. There's just lower car ownership, or I'm sorry, there's higher car ownership in the areas that have higher birth rates and marriage rates. So this funding would disadvantage cities, which if you've ever walked in a city or tried to use public transportation in Connecticut cities, it really struggles. And so it would mean people who already have a hard time getting to work and earning a living would possibly have even harder times making ends meet and supporting their families, which is what, you know, we want. We want to make sure that families are able to thrive and be supported and be healthy. And this transportation policy may, in fact, have the opposite effect on families in Connecticut.
So people are more interested in reading this report and learning more about it. They could just go to ctdata.org at your website?
Yes.
Very good. The Connecticut Data Collaborative is engaged in a variety of different events and activities that touch our lives every year, at least for all of those who had interest in or headed to the polls to vote last November. The Data Collaborative provided a very comprehensive analysis of the 2024 election turnout, something I know you're particularly proud of, Sarah, right?
Yes, I am. I've been very involved with this project. We've done a lot of different analysis and we'll continue to do analysis on this data, but looking at some Hartford neighborhoods and how those, you know, have changed. And hopefully there's been some increases in turnout and engagement. But across the board, the analysis of the 24 election, we saw some news headlines that were somewhat anecdotal. They were seeing that there were more communities that were closer in the race between the Republican and the Democratic presidential nominee. And there were just some questions that we just decided, like, let's look at the data to see what the data says. And the initial data that was put out by the Secretary of State found that there's been declining voter turnout in the past three elections, and that there were actually 14 towns in Connecticut that voted Democratic in the last election and went Republican in this election. So just a lot of really interesting stuff going on that people involved in voting and get out the vote and educating voters, we thought that this would be really useful information as they think about their local elections happening this year.
So versus picking up what they think is fact over the virtual back fence of a social network, they can just go to ctdata.org to get the real facts on election turnout here in the state of Connecticut. A great service that's provided provided by the Connecticut Data Collaborative. At the same time, I know when I worked much more closely with or in nonprofits, we were at a point where outcome reporting was the most critically important to show how the donated dollars and operational dollars were working. But today, being able to amass and utilize data as part of strategic planning is something that the Connecticut Data Collaborative has really put their shoulder into to benefit now dozens and dozens of nonprofits across the state. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, we started a service that we call Data Strategic Planning, and we created it because we noticed, you know, we provide workshops, we host conference and other kind of data meetups for people who are data minded, and there was this gap in people really being able to apply some of the ideas that we were talking about, and people feeling a little overwhelmed when they got back to their organizations and tried to figure out how to make these changes with data. So much about data really is about culture and about helping people talk about data and get on the same page about what do we even mean when we say the word data. So we created Data Strategic Planning as a way to work really intensively with nonprofits so that they could be strategic in the data that they are collecting. So the data they're collecting is worthwhile, so that the data they're collecting really can help them understand how to make better informed decisions for their organizations and related to what you're saying, to be better able to show the outcomes of their work. So it's helping have better quality information to understand if we are having the outcomes that we intend.
And if you weren't part of one of these 75 nonprofits that have been helped to date by the Connecticut Data Collaborative, they still want to help you, and that's where the Connecticut Data Academy comes in. It's for everybody, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, we really pride ourselves on being unconventional data people. You know, I have a background in a Bachelor of Arts degree from undergraduate school, and I'm a musician, and people like me are data people. We have the power to learn how to use data effectively, again, to make the important decisions for our organizations and also our communities, just as citizens and residents of the state. So our workshops are for people who are new to data, as well as people who do have more skills. And we include topics such as designing forms and surveys. Intake forms are often an overlooked piece of data in our planning in our organization. So we provide workshops in that topic, in data storytelling, and then also in analyzing numbers or quantitative data, as well as other kinds of workshops. We also do customize workshops for organizations so that if, you know, an organization has a team that really is trying to increase their skills together, we can customize workshops with their data. And we love doing that. It's always really exciting. And we're actually trying to be more strategic in offering our workshops more across the state. We did a strategic planning process a couple of years ago, and people said, we want more workshops in other parts of the state other than Hartford, you know, where we're located and where we've had offices. So we're offering some workshops in the New London area. We will be offering some workshops in the Waterbury area and hopefully in the Norwalk, Fairfield County area again this year. So we're trying to make sure that it's really accessible to people. And we also do offer some virtual events as well that people can learn about on our website too.
And if folks, if you don't go to the folks can come to your annual conference, which is in the planning stages now. But each year it hosts over 200 people from across the entire state, both folks who are deeply drilled into utilizing or developing data, as well as fledglings who are just getting ready to begin to immerse themselves in how to do it, how to use it, how to understand it, right?
That's right. Yep. And we offer it in the fall. So this year we're narrowing down the date, but it will be in likely in October of this year. And we pride ourselves again on being an event where people can come to actually get to know other people. It's hard to do this data work on your own. You can learn a lot of skills by using tools that you find online, you know, tutorials online. But when it comes down to it, like we are people, we are humans, we need to bring critical thinking and ethics into this work. And by being connected with other humans in this work, we can make sure that we're, you know, learning new ideas, integrating new concepts, integrating ethics in ways that are realistic in the work that we're doing, and really just connecting with other people and remembering that the work that we do is not just to crunch numbers, but it's really to support the flourishing of everyone in Connecticut.
Sarah Isley-Durley is our go-to for the People Data Guru, representing the Connecticut Data Collaborative, which is seeking to support informed decision-making across Connecticut by equipping and empowering regular people like me to access and use data. Sarah, very much appreciate the information this morning. If you'd like to read this new report that they just issued, new federal DOT policy would disadvantage Connecticut, especially our urban centers. You can read that and learn all about their activities and resources at their website, simply ctdata.org. Sarah, thank you very much for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.